the top video game podcast. Well, actually, no. This. This is the top video game podcast.
It's right from
HorribleNight.com. Come at you live. I don't remember. You're not anybody. You're not even on Twitter. And
what's Twitter? Is that like Twitch?
I don't know.
I'm on Twitch.
My friends at South by Southwest emailed me and told me I should sign up for it, and I did. They said it's the next big thing.
Foursquare. Now that's the new thing I hear everybody's using.
Yeah, we're checking into this podcast on Tuesday, April 15th, 2014, with Mayor Jordan Wilson.
I did it. Oh, hi everybody.
It doesn't count. You can't be the mayor if you create the place.
We'll get those potholes filled up. We're gonna fill them up with all the dead raccoons that are also all over the streets, and then there you go.
I think
raccoons, two birds with one stone. We're not killing birds. Just raccoons and potholes.
This is a messy podcast. potholes, dead animals.
Yeah, we're getting it started. There we go.
Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. I'm trying to get all my plugs in. My name's Justin Lacey. I think I got it all covered.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Justin Lacey. How you doing tonight?
Me?
How you doing on this Tuesday in this awful Indiana...
It's nicer out right now.
Blizzard that just suddenly struck us last night.
Well, see, so we had snow again this morning, and everybody was super annoyed, but, like, everybody knew it was coming, too.
I heard it was coming last week. I thought they were joking, because I have been telling that joke for the last couple of weeks. Oh, you know, it's going to snow this weekend.
That's your best material? What's the punchline?
Yeah. It is. Well, I say in a funny way. I go, it's going to snow this weekend. I do a little dance. I do like a little Conan O'Brien like puppet dance, and then I cut.
Oh yeah, I like that. Yeah, that gets me every time. You're not on Twitter, so you don't annoy me because you weren't complaining. I couldn't see you complaining about the weather, but I've decided I'm not annoyed by people that complain about the weather. I'm annoyed by people who know that the weather's happening and pretend that they're genuinely surprised. Like,
do they know that it's happening? Because being someone who's not on Twitter, I actually don't have any idea what's going on in the world.
I'm surprised you showed up.
I don't know what the weather is until I walk outside. Like, I didn't even know this podcast was going on. Because I don't have a Twitter, and you just tweeted it.
But, no, it's warmer out now. So, like I said, snow this morning, but I took my dog for a walk. So, he's passed out, so we've got at least an hour to finish this damn show.
How does your puppy react to the snow?
He loves it.
How does it react to grass now that
he's
it's actually
confused
grass?
By it. He's very confused by the grass. He's like, should I eat this? Because there's a lot. I'll start, but, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to get all this in today. I think he gets tired and bored while eating the grass. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
You are the puppy of the podcast.
Unless I find like a nice anthill or something like that, then that's pretty exciting.
What else have I been doing though? You don't want to talk about wrestling, but I saw WrestleMania. That was fun.
I'm glad that you had fun.
I mean, honestly, so I've gotten WrestleMania the last 4 or 5 years. 5 years.
What does that mean? You got it. Like, you understand it?
No. It's a pay-per-view event that you have to purchase and, like, make a concerted effort to watch. And I've done that the last 5 years.
Okay. Because it's a spectacle, like a Broadway show. Like,
I mean, I'd say it's the ultimate soap opera for men. Like,
okay. Soap opera for men. It's, all right.
Yeah.
For men who like to see other men without their shirts on. Okay.
Well, they have to be oiled up too. Not just the shirtless men. I mean, they have to be shiny.
That's true. If they don't glisten under the spotlights.
I prefer my wrestling as wet as possible. That just got uncomfortable. Anyway, it was the best I've seen.
I'll send you some videos that I found online the other night. You were really liking them.
I don't want your videos. You can't send them to me anyway because you're not on Twitter.
I'll put them in chat.
I've seen 7 WrestleManias. This was the best one. That's all you need to know. So, You have been working on some game development. We talked a little bit about it last time.
Yes, I have.
You showed me your latest little prototype, and you said you've gotten a little tired of some of your weapon design.
Anytime I've ever made a game in the past, if the guy's like a knight or a swordsman, he'll attack with his sword. It's just one quick attack. He'll just slash out a sword, and that's it. Then after playing Tiny Barbarian DX, and then I watched a playthrough of Crawl, the new four or five player dungeon. Like the very simple pixel art style.
You're trying to get out of a dungeon.
Okay. And everybody else is playing as ghosts that are trying to kill you so that they can become human.
Yes.
And then they can escape the dungeon. But depending on what weapon you have, you can have a sword, a dagger, a club, a spear. Each one of those has 10 different frame animations, somewhere mm-hmm. between 5 and 10. So instead of just slashing with the sword, you slash forward, slash back, slash up. Then he jumps in the air, spins. It's just this.
He's got moves.
It's overkill for just a simple pixel art thing. But then Tiny DX did the same thing. Your little barbarian guy, he'll slash forward, then he slashes back, and then he lunges forward. And then there's a jump attack, and I think there was an up attack. And depending on how you're moving,
he's that also got moves.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so after playing games like that, I'm not satisfied anymore with just a single, quick slash forward.
Just the gun animation.
Even if I had a character that just shot a gun, he would shoot, and then he would go behind his back and shoot again.
Oh yeah.
And
then he between would, the leg shot.
Yeah, exactly. He would sides, dance. He would jump around.
Shot. Oh, I'm gonna.
It'd be like that Christian Bale movie, that Equilibrium, that gun craft or whatever, the gun sword fighting that they do in that movie.
You want more moves and more animations to your attacks in these games you're making. Are you thinking along the Dark Souls route where the animation takes precedence? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I actually thought about doing that because four attack combo. So you slash and you backslash, you slash up, and then he kind of jumps and slash down. I thought, all right, well, I should probably increase to get to a fourth attack. It should probably either be more powerful or larger so that it could hit enemies further away, or maybe it can cover the guy's head too. So if an arrow's coming down on you, or I can add invincibility frames, because I know that was a big gotcha with the new Dark Souls, is they started to remove all the invincibility frames, because it was before, if you would open a door or your rolls and stuff like that,
there are times where you can be hit.
Yeah, you had more invincibility frames. Mm-hmm. But I heard they got rid of all that stuff. So now, when you're doing a backstab, you're no longer invincible. So if you're doing a backstab to one guy and there's three guys around you, every one of those guys can beat down on you. And so you have to break out of it, which I don't know if I want to go that far, but I was just excited to be able to code.
Yeah.
Strike once, and then during that attack, during the time that it takes to start the attack and end the attack, if you hit the button again, then it doesn't immediately start the next attack, but the next attack is ready. Mm-hmm. So when the first attack ends, the second one is queued up. It ended up being real easy to do. It was just setting some variables and then just making sure I'm checking them in the right order. But I thought the effect looked real cool for just being a 10 pixel tall guy. I thought the animations looked pretty smooth.
That's cool. I mean, it's always fun to find the next feature after you've actually finished a game.
Yeah.
Something else to be excited about and something else to mess around with. The only other reason I'm talking about this is because Coop released his game finally last week at the day job. We've been working on a game called
at about the same time that I did, and the two games seem eerily similar. And I have never seen Coop's game until he released it. Coop has seen my game.
What are you trying to say?
When I posted it up on our site and I sent it out to everybody, during an email chain, I was like, oh, I'll show everybody's Coop's game. Because Justin used to work with me, so everybody knows who he is.
Uh-huh.
That's you, Justin. I was saying
it's me. I'm Justin. I'm the host
for the chat audience.
I'm the guy that tries to talk over Jordan, but he never lets me.
So I thought, hey, this would be cool. I'll send the game that the company Justin's working at now. I'll send them the game that he just built. And then I made a joke about it, about the fact that
oh man,
the games are so similar. Everybody literally shot back like, "Are you?" Because I said,
"Oh, come on!"
And hey, Coop ripped me off, and that's the last time I go to lunch with those guys. Everyone. The games are hardly similar.
They are both 2D side scrollers with waves of enemies.
With an unbeatable wave. Like me and Coop both copied it from Time Barbarian DX. Like we both copied it from the same place. So, but yeah, no, it was real funny. Everyone fired back like, "Are you serious?" Like, oh man, that's not cool. Like, I had to fire back real quick before people got mean about it. I was kidding.
You got to be careful with your game development jokes. You got to know your audience before you start throwing things around like that. Because, Coop finally finished Escape from XP this week, and it's pretty fun to get that game out there. We've been working on it for the last month and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll post a link to it. It actually came out a lot more polished than I expected. We had a pretty good artist that kind of came into his own during the game, and that makes a big difference too.
Makes me miss XP, man. There was just something about just the
it was. I mean, there's a lot of Windows XP nostalgia out there right now. Like because it worked. Damn it. Yeah.
Well, that start menu, man. They're bringing it back.
That'll fix everything. Actually, yeah, just hide the existing start menu from me as much as possible. I was having that talk about Windows 8 the other day. They're like, "It's not that bad." And I was like, "It's not that bad, but it doesn't mean that I'm not annoyed by some of the dumb choices it's made." So,
yeah, that start menu took me a minute. Once I finally accepted the fact this is the start menu, the desktop.
Yeah.
The thing with the little tiles.
It's the start menu. That's what it's called.
Yeah, exactly. Once I accepted this is the start menu, okay, then I can make my browser.
Well, no, so you go to the start menu, and then you type to find whatever you want, so you never have to actually look at it or use it. Like,
honestly, if you're doing that, just buy a Mac. Because that's what everyone on a Mac is already doing.
I think I've got about 300 games in my Steam library that disagree with that decision.
Oh, okay.
But we're getting there.
True.
Let's go on to like video game news that impacted more than you and me.
talk about stuff that didn't impact me. I don't understand that phrase.
Well, there was a video from PAX East that apparently affected a lot of people. I don't know. I don't know if you've been how much you've been following.
Everything they do affects a lot of people, regardless of whether it's
PAX East. Yeah, PAX East. Touches a lot of people.
So what happened to PAX East?
So that game, the Starship fighting game, that's what I'm going to call it.
Star Citizen.
Star Citizen. Yeah,
No, I want to talk.
I get to set it up before you tangent.
Chat, everyone, I'm going to talk in chat too.
Actually, maybe you should do that. That'll distract you. We'll get you calmed down. So Star Citizen's been raising ridiculous amounts of money. For forever. I just saw they're actually over $45 million raised in crowdfunding. Now, it's kind of deceptive because people are actually like buying ships and like spending thousands of dollars on in-game transactions.
Can you disappear with Kickstarter money? Is that possible?
I don't know. I would have
$20 million ago. Like I would have disappeared in my flying yacht.
And I think the last time you were on, we talked about like wanting a game like TIE Fighter. Like, there just hasn't been just a space combat game in a long time. And
Strike Suit Zero, which I just recently played from released beginning of last year. That game, it fit that need, but it's not – that game was an open world, which is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the old privateer freelancer open world where it's just you and your ship. Go fly to whatever solar system you want. If you do whatever you want, I think that's the next kind of game I'm ready
Escape
for.
Escape with your ship, alone in the universe. Well, anyway, I know Star Citizen because it's made so much money and it's been being made by the developer behind the last Starfighter stuck in my head. What did he make before that?
The guys that are working on Star Citizen?
Yeah, yeah.
I wondered if they had any pedigree.
They come from a ridiculous pedigree. It'll take me 2 seconds.
Oh, okay. I've always wondered about that because, man, people are just shoveling money.
So, yeah, I mean, that's where we're Wing Commander. So this guy behind Wing Commander, sorry.
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
Oh, so okay. So it's the Wing Commander guys that are going to make a new space.
They're making the Wing Commander of their dreams, basically.
Flight simulator. Okay, all right.
And people are able to buy ships.
I'll allow it.
People are able to buy ships, and I don't know what else they're spending thousands of dollars on. Anyway, all the like the artwork for this game and all the screenshots I've seen, you know, it looks really, really gorgeous. But they finally revealed some actual gameplay at PAX East.
Ooh, dangerous.
And it looks really good, but the
it
best...
It didn't look $40 million good.
you'd be surprised.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Yeah.
And I don't think we matter, because the best part of that video is...
Helmet!
The crowd just going absolutely
nuts. We say crowd. I listen to it again. It is distinctively one guy that you audibly hear screaming things. Well, and I don't know if it was just like, that's like the bro tone that every dude uses when he's in a crowd. Like, shoot a torpedo! Eject!
I think I've heard those guys at golf tournaments too.
But... You probably heard him during your wrestling.
Yeah, I was going to say, it actually reminded me of a wrestling club.
Your wrestling soap opera.
They were starting chants, but everything.
Helmet!
And then they put the helmet on, and the crowd went nuts and donated another $20 million.
Probably.
So.
I hope that guy, those people were plants. Or those people thought they were at Coachella.
Dude, $45 million in crowdfunding. That has got a crowd that is emotionally invested in this game, and they're finally getting to see it.
Okay,
so
do you think like they could have shown anything? They could have shown like
probably
a Park Stick of Truth, and people would have been like, yeah, that's the game. Whoa, yeah.
here's another game
helmet,
we like.
Helmet.
They show footage of other games.
Like the crowd was chanting helmet like 3 or 4 times.
Is that your favorite part?
I didn't even... The helmet animation was cool, but after the first time I saw it, I thought, I hope I'd never have to sit through that helmet animation again.
They ruined it. But other than the game, it looked pretty awesome, though. Like, as far as, like I said, you're excited for some space combat, did it?
Yeah, I didn't think it looked awesome. I thought it looked all right.
All right. I think the attention to detail looks really nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when he spun it around, he was showing the guy sitting in the cockpit. That was hopeful, because I think one of the reasons that everyone is so excited about the idea of Star Citizen, why they keep dumping money into it, I think it's probably a problem with Kickstarter, where it's before we actually see the game, like, the possibilities are endless, you know? Unlimited potential. And so if we just keep pouring money into it, then they should be able to do anything. Because I think, what was the Terraria space game that just came out? Starbound?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, where, man, people just got crazy about that game, because it's the idea of, like, space exploration.
$45 million crazy. Like, this is, like... 10, 20 times as big as anything else that as far as crowdfunding goes.
Because I love space combat. I love the idea of being in a high speed like space planetary fighter fighting against huge battleships. But what I played those games, like Strike Suit Zero, like I said, just got done with that game not too long ago. Man, that game is perfect for that. What I want is to be able to, you're flying around in space and then you just eject. And then you're over the shoulder view of a guy, and then like you land on an asteroid, and then you just walk around the asteroid, and then maybe you find like a pirate base, and you sneak into the pirate base, and you're like walking around inside of the pirate base. Like I just don't want space.
Oh, okay, yeah, you want to get out of the ship.
I want a huge world, but there's actually, what was that, No Man's Sky?
Yeah. That's what I was going to suggest for you.
I think that's what they might be going for. Yeah.
I don't know if you're getting out of the ship in that. I know it's got, like, exploration. Yeah. You get down to, like, near the planet level. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, you might just be, like, hovering around, like, cruising around in your ship.
I don't know enough about where the open worldness ends for Star Citizen. I know, like, having your hangar is a big deal. Like, your hangar full of your ships and being able to walk around your ship. But as far as, like, interacting outside of that, I don't really know where that's going. But, like, yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, it's deceiving to call it crowdfunding because people are just literally buying. It's like they're buying in-game items before it comes out. It's like,
oh, you mean like the spending like $20,000 on a ship?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if PlanetSide 2, when people were playing the beta and started buying weapons and buying upgrades, if they had started adding that money in to their crowdfunding total.
Yeah.
Like it's that kind of thing. But I still, like, people are spending thousands of dollars, and I don't fully understand, but like that, the trailer was attention grabbing, and then that crowd reaction was one of the more ridiculous things I've heard. Like, in a very entertaining way. Like, I'm thrilled for those people. I would love to be that excited about something right now.
Yeah.
And all I have is wrestling. And we'll get to another problem.
But you like space exploration, right?
Yes.
But you like wrestling too. All right. Here's my game pitch.
Go. Oh,
wait, that's a different show. It's spaceships that wrestle. they're spaceships, and then they like do the Robotech mech thing,
yes,
and then they wrestle. But before they start wrestling, they taunt each other,
uh-huh,
and they flex a lot. And then each ship's got its own like signature, like, you know, move that it does. I don't know. I don't know wrestling moves. I'm trying to do hand things.
Yeah.
I've seen one guy, he wipes.
How do you pin someone in space?
Against an asteroid.
Okay. Again, you got to get down to the planet level.
It's like the chair thing.
Space.
You like run over the asteroid. You grab an asteroid, and then you come in and you just block the other guy over the head with it. Gotcha. Or like space debris and stuff. This is
space Jordan.
This is actually a good idea.
I think we should have a space segment every time you're on. You get excited.
Space wrestling.
Let's see if I can tone you down because
you can't. Nobody can.
Hey, I'm going to talk about...
You can't censor me.
...the latest in streaming devices for your living room. So, I actually got a Amazon Fire TV that came out.
You mean a PC hooked to your TV? I have one of those.
That's not really it. Yeah.
So, explain what the... it's the Amazon Fire TV.
Yes, right? Gary Busey, it is.
So, I got excited. Oh, God, yeah. That.
I like that ad.
That ad alone makes me not want to know anything about it.
Amazon brought back Gary Busey. Here's $100. That was my decision making process.
He's crazy, but I like that he acknowledges the fact that he's crazy.
Yeah. Hi, pants.
I just squeaked. I don't know what the hell that just was.
Reverse puberty happening right now.
Okay. But go ahead. Shoot.
So the reason I got it was because I have three Rokus in my house. We have three TVs hooked up with Roku players. So I cut cable a couple years back. I do a lot of streaming. All of my digital downloads, everything that I buy, is actually on Amazon service. That's just my preference. And then, so one of my Rokus has kind of been on the fritz lately. It's my oldest one. I'm like, and then when they announced this, it's the same price as a Roku. And I'm like, well, I might as well try this because all my stuff's hooked into Amazon. Plus, they also put out a trailer for like all the games that are coming to it, which is kind of bizarre. But
that really perked my interest when I saw controller hooked to like this streaming device, because I really love the idea of the Ouya, but like
I think Amazon's in a better position with that.
It's really hard for them to gain a foothold or really gain traction because they don't have anything connected to them. But yeah, like what you're talking about with the Amazon, like, yeah, you have an Amazon account.
Mm-hmm.
I do too, and I've bought two things.
Probably got 30 movies and hundreds of TV episodes already on that account. So that was the kind of the games were just a bonus, and I was just kind of curious about it. So it was $100. And I don't think this is Amazon's big play, but I think they're still testing the waters with the gaming stuff. I think if they want to get serious, they'll make a beefier machine, but not, you know, not the level of an Xbox One, but like, you know, the $150 version of this that has a little more meat to it when they have some games that are worth talking about. Right now, they had a brand new like kind of tower defense game ready to go at launch, and then they've got. You know, they've got Minecraft on there. They've got all the, you know, ties into the the Amazon game store, all the Android stuff. It's running Android.
I remember the Minecraft. I felt like the Minecraft part of the advertisement was at least two or three times longer than any of the other game.
I'm glad we're at a point where you're validating your system by having Minecraft rather than Angry Birds. That's evolution.
That's a world I want to live in.
It's much better. What else? But I was actually most excited for the fact that Pinball FX is actually already on the device, so I can play pinball on my TV again. But the controller's fine. It actually got some really bad reviews, so I had my expectations were lowered for it, but I finally got the controller in.
What about the latency or just the feeling of it?
Yeah, the feeling of it. Like it just like the buttons.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it. It's
fine. It's totally fine. The D-pad sucks, but the D-pad sucks on 80% of controllers in the world. So, don't buy this for the games. Amazon is investing in their Amazon Game Studios. They've hired who they hire? They hired the creative director behind Far Cry 2, the creator of Portal, and a couple other people. And so I think they're working on stuff, which makes me believe that those games that level of team are working on is probably a year or two away. So Amazon's actual play into game consoles or whatever happens is probably a little bit away. It's probably not.
You think Amazon is working on Amazon only titles?
Yes. Yeah. They will. I mean, so you've got Amazon's got a device, Apple's got a device, Google's working on their stuff. And then Roku's out there, Mr. Independent, right now. But Amazon wants to give you another reason to only buy an Amazon thing so they can compete with Apple in the living room. And then, and then we'll see where that starts overlapping with what Microsoft and Sony are doing. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Because it's
like you've got hardware companies that are setting up like these really huge software ecosystems like that Apple has done. And then you've got Amazon that's primarily been a web service that's turning into products now they're bringing into their software service into a physical product and selling that. So it's getting confusing out there. I had my Google Glass, our office Google Glass down here a minute ago. I was like, I can't think of anything funny to do with it because I don't know how it works. So went and took it back upstairs.
I want to mess with one of those. I want to see how that all works.
We've had it in the office.
You just blink at it, right, and it works?
Probably 2 or 3 months. Well, the other developer, he was sitting there trying to figure it out, and for some reason he kept...
He was nervous, man.
It's like, are you all right, man? I never noticed that nervous twitch. He's like, no, I'm trying to go back. he was doing something, and the Google Glass would pick up on that.
That's a different... That's their porn device.
Or OK Glass, whatever the heck it's called. So you'd flick your head and it would, I don't know, it would do something. I don't remember. It wasn't interesting and nobody could figure it out. It'll tell you the time.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, I don't wear a watch anymore, so.
Like a watch on your face.
That's a much more direct sales pitch.
Sounds really aggressive when you say it like that.
Another big announcement. So Firaxis, the guys behind the Civilization series, and most recently XCOM: Enemy Unknown, they're working. They announced their next Civilization game, which is Civilization Beyond Earth. So Civilization's going to space.
Is it called Civilization?
Yes, I believe.
Okay.
I believe it's called Civilization Beyond Earth.
Alpha Centauri or whatever.
So yeah,
it's the spiritual successor to that, but since they don't own the name to it.
Yeah.
But it's the same guy. It's Sid Meier, right?
Right. But apparently when they formed that company within EA, they brought Civ but not Alpha Centauri.
EA owns everything.
Except for Alpha Centauri. So I mean I didn't really play Alpha Centauri, so I can't really speak to that, but I mean
I didn't either, but I got a 45 to maybe 3 hour lecture. I kind of zoned out for a while when a friend, old friend of mine discovered that I was real into making video games. He gave me his video game pitch, and it was based off that. So, man, that game sounds super complicated. And then it sounded really open. So, like, other people would add their own races because you're in space, and so it's like you've got the technologically religious race that you can play as, and you have like the Earth colonials
it's that
like, you can play
they're
as.
They're super advanced, but we've got to distill it down to the basics still. Like, we still got to, like, universe problems are the same as if you were on the one planet.
They will always be the same, right?
I think this is interesting just because Civ 5 was pretty much perfect, like, for lack of a better term. Like, I thought...
Never played a Civ game.
I
played the hell out of all the SimCity games, but...
I didn't play Civ until Civ 4, so I've played Civ 4 and 5. And then obviously really likes their XCOM stuff. And they've been doing a really good job at just making those series a lot more accessible, for better or for worse. I still think they maintain their hardcore like modes. You just have to basically go in and turn those on. So, But my question always was, after Civ 5, where does that series go? And
to space.
That works for me. I think that's exciting. I didn't know what.
All I want to know is, can you get out of your spaceship?
that's every single game.
Just let me know. Maybe I want the space exploration combat game, and then when you go to the planet, it turns into Starbound.
But what if it all starts like Spore? What if you go the other way? You got
to
start.
No, I don't want to wait.
I have to play six other games to get to the game I want.
Yeah, if I can skip Spore and get right to the space exploration, then yes, they can include it. I won't ever have to do it. They can do whatever they want.
Well, if you think about that, you want these big space exploration games that take place in a universe where technology is more or less at its peak, right? Because you're flying around in space, so that's pretty high up there.
That's a heightened level of technology. I would say it's the peak technology.
I understand the fault of my statement.
When our minds are all sharing a single thought.
You want to get to that level of technology so you could go to a planet and then just, like, be a caveman.
Just hang out. just, you know, see what's going on.
Space cavemen.
See if there are any good movies or anything, you know?
I just want to go check out the movies in other galaxies. There's probably people that would be really appealing to. Another game that you know a lot about, Epic finally showed off some of Fortnite. Now, they announced this, I want to say, almost 3 years ago at this point. And it was about the time that everybody started leaving Epic. Gears of War was kind of wrapping up. And you don't really know. I don't even know who's left at Epic. Like, they basically... They bought People Can Fly, that stuff didn't really take off, and then they announced this Fortnite game, everybody leaves, and we don't hear anything for a while, and you're just kind of like, you know what, maybe Epic is just making their game engine. Maybe they're making the Unreal Engine 4, they're going to license that, and that's just the company they're going to be.
Yeah.
And then they released this trailer for Fortnite, and one, it looks really cool. I thought it looked genuinely fun, but two, they really hit home with... that, you know, it's okay that this doesn't look like an Epic game because we're redefining Epic, and just beat you over the head with it. And I was like, yeah, I get that, you know, it's not Gears of War, but outside of that, we don't really know what you can do, so no one really was going to say much either way. So, anyway, Fortnite...
There'll be a playable character that's like this huge, massive, like, no-necked dude.
Big football player.
Boys screaming for helmets.
At one point, they said that, you know, Fortnite was kind of inspired by Minecraft, so I kind of got worried that it was going to go off way too far in the building side of things. But, I mean, essentially...
The developers said that?
They said they were taking some inspiration from Minecraft, so you don't know what to...
Was Minecraft the first, like...
It's the milestone.
Like, build your own, you know, make your own build... Whatever, I don't know. I can't think of a term for that.
I mean, that game is bigger and bigger every day. Okay. Still, so,
because I just watched some guys do a early beta of the EverQuest.
Next.
Yeah, the world building side of it.
Yeah.
And I thought those two, the gameplay that I watched of Fortnite and the gameplay I watched of the EverQuest looked a lot alike. Even like the building part of it.
I haven't watched any of the EverQuest next stuff, but I'll have to do that to kind of compare.
Yeah, I think it's Foundation. That might be the name of the
It has
the
weird
the world editor.
It has a weird name.
Yeah. But have you ever seen any Rust gameplay either?
A little bit, but
kind of the same thing going on. Like the first person shooter, it's and the then new you're like hotness. I'm gonna plant a wall, and then you know it gives you like the little opaque wall thing. You place it down, and then a wall gets built. So. But like all this stuff is kind of getting released at the same time, and it's just funny. It's like, I doubt these developers have really had any crossover. I'm sure, like, you know, obviously EverQuest started their thing when they did. The Rust guys started theirs, maybe... and the Fortnite guys. Everyone just seems to be going to the same place. If, like, Minecraft is the foundation of, like, we need to start adding world editing to video games, but we've got all these first-person, well... EverQuest isn't a first-person shooter, but it's a first-person game. They all just kind of are evolving, I think, into this. It's neat to see them all kind of looking the same.
Here's my theory that I just put together while you were talking.
Rambling on.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I've kind of started thinking, so these are the games, especially with EverQuest Next, like you, and the just the weirdness that is the MMO space right now. Like everybody, you know, for the longest time, everybody was trying to make the next World of Warcraft. Like they were using the model of World of Warcraft. Uh-huh. The next biggest thing since World of Warcraft is probably Minecraft, as far as like just the level of success that something that a game has had. Just. And so now it's like all those companies that were trying to make the next Warcraft had now shifted to. Okay, well, the Warcraft stuff's not working. Let's put in Minecraft into it and see what happens.
At least Angry Bird hasn't found its way into every game, too.
We hope not, because...
it's still in chat. Nobody's moved my Angry Birds reference out.
You killed it with your Angry Birds reference.
I did. Everybody left.
Anyway, Fortnite, though, I think it looks like the premise is cool, just from the get-together with your friends... build a fort in a certain amount of time and defend it against mutants.
It's a wave, so it's wave. It's going to be like wave-based. Mm-hmm. A lot like my game.
Everybody copied off of you.
Defend the building. Coop?
But it looks like
What's exciting? What's exciting about that? Like
I think it looks like a
wave-based game, and it's a wave-based game from probably the inventors of wave mode.
I was thinking about that. The Horde mode guys.
Horde mode, yeah. Okay, all right. So, I mean, they know how to do it.
With, like, destructible environments and then, things that you have built and having to defend that, it looked like good co-op fun. I don't know.
It's like a new improvement on wave-based games when you can actually build the level. Although, there was a... what are those games called where you set towers and the enemies come in on a set path?
Tower defense?
Yeah, tower defense games. Mm-hmm. There's like a first-person shooter tower defense game. Amazon Fire one. That game. I think that's basically what it was. I can't think of what the game I'm thinking of is called. But I mean, that's kind of the same thing where you just. You know, the wave's about to start, build your level, but all you're building is walls so that, you know...
When you're building something and enemies tear it down, like, there's a little bit more investment in your structures, and I'm...
I think Fortnite, because I've never gotten into those games, never gotten into 2D, like, bird's-eye-view tower defense games, and then I've never... Like, I've watched some people play these first-person shooter tower defense games, the ones that I'm thinking of, like, the names of... But this game actually looked exciting because the idea, like, I was watching the guy and he kept just building Sanctum. Thank you, Nilmar had it.
I didn't play Sanctum, so I don't feel so bad now. I was like, you sound like you're talking about something obvious, but okay.
It was a big
Dungeon Defenders?
Yeah, kind of.
Orcs Must Die?
Basically. But, like, the guy was just building stairs straight into the air, and I thought, well, that's probably really defensible. Just build stairs straight up into the air, and then everyone just stand on the top of the stairs. But you're probably, like every tower defense game, you're probably defending something.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't do that because the enemies won't go after you. They'll just go after the orb.
Yeah, you're probably building a fort around a crystal or some sort of...
A crystal or the power generator, something like that, yeah.
I don't know, it's the original pitch didn't interest me, and I was worried it's going to go down this like just being too Minecraft.
Was that the original pitch? A wave based build level editor. Okay.
Yeah, but it looked.
But it wasn't until you saw like the first, the characters, the way they looked, the way they were being attacked by the enemies, and watching them build and like build a the fort, like the cardboard fort looking thing that they built that they were standing.
I mean, that
up
looked
on,
fun.
Like,
it looked simple. Drawbridge. But also, like I said, it looks for a quick co-op game. It looked like something I could get into. So it was just nice to see. You know, I thought Epic was DOA as far as game development goes. So it was
It was
nice to see this thing come out and look genuinely interesting and like nothing they've ever done. And
they need to give up
on a shot. So
that Unreal Engine, nobody's using that thing. There's no money. There's no money in that.
No, I mean, why that would be? They should drop the price of it for.
Actually, I played an Unreal game.
Did you? You probably played a lot of them.
I finished a game. Well, it's just one of those things. You know, the game starts and it's like Unreal.
You mean like 80% of games this last generation?
Yeah.
It's like the only engine there for a while.
Yeah, I just beat Contrast last night.
Yeah.
Just got released a couple months ago. I don't really know the pedigree. I don't know where the game came from. I guess there wasn't any pedigree. It was just a company that, you know, nobody's ever heard of that just put it together. But the intro of the game was interesting because it's like, you know, made on the Unreal Engine, funding from, and then it was some organization. Like, it's, you know, like the way that, like, cities will give grants
Game
companies. It sounded like that. But, no, Contrast ended up being a pretty cool game. It was only 3 hours, which I did.
Yeah.
That caught me off guard, but I had no reason to think that it wasn't going to be a really short game like that. But,
is it, like, puzzle solving? What's the
Yeah, game? So the game's gimmick is, because every little indie game has to have a gimmick, or... Right. So you play as a little girl's imaginary friend.
Cool.
So you don't play as the little girl. She has no talent.
She's
a quest giver. Do what?
I said the little girl's boring and has no talent.
Yeah.
So why would you want to play as her?
Actually, you are boring because you don't ever talk. Well, you're an imaginary friend.
You keep talking over me, so... Oh.
But the game's gimmick is... You play as Dawn. The little girl's name is Dee Dee. Dawn is able to pass into the shadow world. So you'll have a spotlight hitting a wall. So you can't... here's the best example. You need to get up onto a platform. There's two people in a hotel room that are arguing, but the light is casting the shadows of them on the building that you're standing next to. So you'll get against the wall, hit the button, and you're now a shadow on the wall. And then, like, the woman's playing with her shoe. You need to go stand on her shoe because they're shadows, so, you know, they're being projected further away, so the shadows are huge. Stand on her foot. She'll lift her foot up onto the bench to play with her, like, shoelaces or something like that. Then you jump off onto the table, get onto her cigarette. Then she'll lift her cigarette up to her mouth. You jump on her head. And then you jump her over to the guy that she's talking to. And now you jump up onto the ledge.
Okay. It's like puzzle.
So you're using
puzzle platforming and
using shadows. You're entering into shadows so that you can move across like a platform, or you're picking up a box, walking into the shadow with the box, dropping the box, and then moving a spotlight because the box is still in the shadow.
So play with the light sources.
So now you're moving a spotlight, and so now you're moving the box across the wall because it's still inside of the light. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's
fun.
That took a minute to kind of like to figure out like how that. Because you would walk into a room, okay, here's the puzzle room, you know, the portal moment where you're standing in the room like, huh.
Yeah.
Like, you can see the whole room, and you know where you need to go. Now, what's everything in this room that I can interact with? Huh.
My problem with all those types of puzzle rooms is, like, you know, usually, I mean, eventually you work it out in your head. You either work backwards or you work from the beginning and step your way through it. No matter what, like, always the first thing I notice is usually, like, that middle step. You know what I mean? Like
the one that...
I start to, like, work one way.
It's trial and error.
Yeah.
That step? Yeah, this game is a big... Just trial and error. Don't stand there and try and figure it out. Because there's a light that you don't see that's not on yet, and it's not until you get up to it that you realize, oh, I need to turn this on, but I didn't, so now I got to go back to where I started and turn and do something to turn it on. But how long was Portal, now that I think about it?
It's only like 4 or 5 hours. It's
okay. Yeah. So it's that. It's a very simple, very simple, just niche puzzle game that
that you feel can, like you got your, that can your, be copied endlessly.
You feel like you got your money's worth? Was that a I can't remember.
It was on sale.
10 or 15.
I don't remember how much I paid for it, but I mean, if you like Portal, you give this game a try. The game is just oozing with charm.
Okay.
Like the artwork for it is beautiful. It's got kind of a like 1950s. I think it's a French development company because you can switch on the French. Yeah. A lot of cheese, wines, baguettes suddenly. Everybody has a baguette. Everyone's smoking a lot. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Gives you a cigarette.
All my French stereotypes.
You turn on.
The little girl is smoking the whole time. Yeah. Mama! Oh!
It's like, well, that's what it wants you to do. You come into the puzzle room. It gives you a cigarette while you're contemplating how to figure it out. And by the time you're done with the cigarette, you should have the problem solved, the puzzle solved.
The game has a very French aesthetic to it. Like when you think like old cabarets or like jazz bars, like the old wine poster artwork that you see everywhere, like the really old classic stuff. It's that kind of an art style. So the game's just dripping with that kind of style. But, man, the only problem with the game is... So a game that's, like, foundation is building objects, like, playing with collision detection. Because you have to build a thing that you can then jump and platform on. The game has terrible collision detection.
Oh.
So, I'll let you.
It's like
I can hear your loud typing over there.
No, that's like every.
What's going on in chat?
I always say with these indie games, like they'll usually, if there's like three facets to the game, they'll always like excel at one, be okay at another, but there'll be one of them that can kind of break it for you.
So the controls.
How forgiving are you willing to be?
Like the controls are super loose. Like you're like, all right, I need to turn the camera around. Whoa, camera, slow down. Luckily, there's a. Camera sensitivity setting, so I turn that guy down, and then I'm like, all right, I need to run forward, and she's off, you know, at a fast sprint, and I just jumped off a ledge. Okay, all right, we need to slow, you know, need to work with the button sensitivity a bit, but man, the collision is so bad that there were a couple of puzzles where I wasn't sure if I wasn't doing it right or if I wasn't doing it correctly, like if I was in the wrong spot and that's why I kept falling out of the world, or if the collision detection was just bad and it wasn't picking up, and in every one of those cases it was the collision detection just wasn't picking.
I didn't hear any like awesome reviews from the game. Like the worst thing I would read is that, you know, it's inoffensive, but like, you know, if it does the puzzle platforming well, if like they're satisfying puzzles, I think that audience, you'll know if you'll like it pretty quickly.
I would recommend a game, if you look at the artwork for the game and you go, man, I really like that artwork, then is a game.
You seem like pretty excited about trying
artwork,
it.
I've had it. Yeah, I feel like I've had it for a long time, and I remember like all the just seeing all the early artwork and stuff for it, just thinking it was pretty cool.
Cool.
I think it'll look good anyway. The idea of it seemed pretty cool.
The only reason I know
actually.
The only reason I know about it was because it was one of the few PS4 launch games. It was one of the first downloadable games you could get. I mean, it just kind of happened to be that was the time they were launching it, but that was that was still kind of cool. So, I feel like I should apologize for my game of the week. I don't know.
It's all right, man. This is a safe place, okay? I mean, I don't know about chat. We got Nilmar in there. So.
I'm actively playing a handful of games, right? And I've been really into Diablo 3, and I still bouncing back and forth with that. I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone, and eventually...
Hearthstone? What's Hearthstone based on? That's based on another game, right?
Yeah, eventually...
Hearthstone... I warned you. I knew Hearthstone was a gateway back into it.
God.
I think all of Hearthstone was just a huge marketing ploy to get everyone back into World of Warcraft.
Guess what?
It sounds like it has worked.
Fucking worked.
I'm gonna send Blizzard an angry letter, man. That's all right. I can't get away from PlanetSide 2 either, man.
I saw that. Like, I almost
damn
like,
online.
I thought we needed to have an intervention for each other.
So what was it that pulled you back? Like, because it had to have been a very distinct moment in your mind where you thought, man, I really want to play this game.
So here's
I shouldn't.
My dilemma's been, I know that I'm going to play it when the new expansion comes out later this year. Like, they're redoing a lot of the character art, and it's just about every 2 years I get the hankering to play some World of Warcraft. And
yeah,
but like, I kept playing Hearthstone, and I just know those characters. I know the heroes. Yeah, I know all the heroes they're using. I started reading up on the story, and I was just like, you know what? I mean, I'll just get a month's subscription. We'll just see what happens. The funny thing is, when I activated my subscription, I logged in and I was like, I don't know what I want to do. Do I want to play with one of my existing characters? Because I don't even remember what I was doing. I don't want to start a new character. So the first night, I didn't end up playing it. And I was like, well, that was just a waste of money.
Oh, okay. So you just activated the account, and then you said, I don't want to start.
I think it took me a week before I got into it, and I discovered, you know what? I started playing the shaman on Hearthstone, and I was like, I didn't really, mm-hmm. really roll a shaman when I played Warcraft. And you know what? I've been reading up on it, and I forgot they added all this pet battle system. Pokemon is essentially in World of Warcraft now.
See, they don't care about Minecraft. They ain't got nothing. They don't care. Minecraft ain't nothing but Pokemon. They're the threat to World of Warcraft. So they went ahead and rolled pet battles in.
So that, knowing that I was gonna have to start over with pet, or start from the beginning with pet battles, like, I should just start a new character. So that was the hook that got me over the hump to play. And then the thing about playing Warcraft, especially solo right now in the beginning, it's really fucking peaceful. Like, and I've just been really relaxed while playing it, and kind of just, it was a relaxing weekend with it.
You just played it by yourself, right?
Played by myself I'm level 15, but I've just
you didn't pull Aaron back into it or anything?
Anybody that happened to sign in on Battle.net when I was playing, I kind of gave him a little nudge, be like, he was like, don't tip me. And I was like, actually, don't listen to me, because I'm going to make the same pitch when the expansion comes out, and that's when I really need you to jump in. So ignore me for now, because I'll probably stop in about a month. So anyway, I spent like probably 8 to 10 hours with it this weekend. So it's fine. It's fine. They've actually fixed a lot of things from the last time I played, because the thing is, anybody that's still playing that game, they're obviously like really into their high level characters and doing like massive raid things. But the way they have figured out the server technology, when you're in a lower level part, it actually phases in other characters from other servers, so you can always see other people running around even if they're not on your server. So it doesn't. The last time I tried this, it was just really empty until I got to like the level 30 areas.
Man, that is not.
I'm constantly seeing just random people, and
that's really cool. But you can't talk.
You can actually. They found a way for you to group up. It's
yeah. That's really cool.
It's weird.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Like when the numbers on your servers get low, just connect all the servers together.
Yeah, but they're doing it. Not via hardware, I guess. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like effective. So anyway, that was a neat thing to see that they've had to solve. I like that technology side of it too. So
that's funny. I've actually heard some people complain that sometimes you'll be playing like the online multiplayer. I think it was Ethan was talking about the secret world where, you know, you're this covert operative that's sneaking into this facility, except there's like 400 other people that are jumping over you that are also in the same area. And so like it takes you out of the immersion of it. Whereas if no one was playing the game, it would feel like that.
Yeah. So I'll be curious to see how much I stick with it, but I had to come clean at least. So I think that's it. We had some other stuff we would get through, but we'll save it for next time. So that's it for tonight's show. We'll be back again with another podcast next week. I think we're going to stick with the Top Video Game Podcast and our checkpoints rolling forward. So you'll see us again next Tuesday night at 8:00. And Jordan, thanks for hanging out tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yep.
And putting up with all of my delightful idiosyncrasies.
I just gotta yell louder than you. That's really all I can do. All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
Bye.